It's been 28 years since Iranian militants seized the U.S. Embassy in Tehran and took dozens of Americans hostage. Today, the two nations are still at odds, and maybe they can learn something from the experiences of two women who left their rage in the past. Writer Firouzeh Dumas has this story of how she and a former hostage found some common ground.
I first saw Catherine Cobb on television in 1979. I couldn't see what she looked like. Her abductors had covered most of her face with a blindfold. Every day, my family and I watched the news religiously. I was 14 years old and living in California. My father was an engineer with the National Iranian Oil Company, and he was helping an American firm build an oil refinery in Iran. We had lived in America for 6 years. I was a Girl Scout. I babysat the neighborhood kids. Happy Days was my favorite program. For my friend Carolyn's 12th birthday party, her mom had taken us to the taping of the show. I loved America. Then came November 4th, 1979.
Protesting Iranian students are occupying the American embassy in Tehran. The demonstrators got past Marine guards at the embassy and are now holding hostages.
All of a sudden, everybody who didn't know us hated us. On Monday, people were asking us if our carpets really do fly. By Friday, they're telling us to leave this country. T-shirts and bumper stickers sprouted everywhere. Iranians, go home. We play cowboys and Iranians. I couldn't believe how quickly people jumped on that hatred bandwagon. And there was that song.
Bam, 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 Iran.
The DJs played it over and over again. I hated that song. One day, our refrigerator broke. I've always been my mother's translator, so I called the repairman. When he arrived, I noticed he had a bumper sticker on his car. Wanted, Iranians for target practice. My mother didn't see that. So the repairman walked into our house, and my mother started telling me in Persian what to say. Asub tashab cheke mikone. When the repairman heard us talking another language, he looked at us and said, "Where are y'all from?" Without hesitating, my mother said, "Turki." It was the first time we had ever lied about being Iranian, but this guy was much bigger than we were, and he had a tool belt. I just remember thinking, this should not be happening in America. We were sure the hostages would be freed within a few weeks, but the crisis wore on.
They were there over Christmas, and they were there for Easter. It's day number 155.
We stayed glued to the TV. My father swore a lot. Whenever Ayatollah Khomeini's bearded, expressionless face was shown, my father yelled, "In which part of the Quran does it say you can take hostages?" My father had a lot of time to watch TV and swear. The oil refinery project had been suspended after the Iranian Revolution. My father tried to find another job, but he was a man in his 50s with a Middle Eastern name, a thick accent, and worst of all, an Iranian passport. My father, former Fulbright scholar, was now public enemy number one.
Old Uncle Sam's getting pretty hot. Time to turn Iran into a parking lot. Bomb Iran.
A few years ago, my brother emailed me telling me that one of his colleagues is related to one of the former hostages. Which one? I asked. The witty one, he said. I knew exactly whom he was talking about. I asked for her email. There were two women among the 52 Americans, Anne Swift and the witty one, Catherine Cobb. On Christmas Day in 1979 and 1980, the women were shown on TV. This is Catherine Cobb.
And the only reason I'm losing weight, Mother, is because I decided that was one thing I could do while I was here.
Once I had her email address, I hesitated to write. If there was anyone who had the right to hate Iranians, it was a former hostage. I finally summoned the courage. "If you want nothing to do with Iranians," I wrote, "I completely understand. I just want you to know that the hostage situation changed my life, although not as dramatically as yours, and I have devoted my life to building bridges." She graciously replied, "After corresponding for a year, we decided to meet in Wisconsin a few weeks ago, where I was speaking at a school. She suggested we drive to Iowa together, where she lives. I gladly accepted." The day I met her was her 69th birthday. She reminded me of a favorite elementary school teacher, somebody who might have homemade cookies in her purse. I asked her what was her lowest point during her 444 days.
It was not on the year anniversary, but it was when I realized I'd lost the whole year 1980, New Year's Day 1981.
Catherine and Anne always had female guards.
You mentioned that one of the female guards was studying for a medical exam.
Yeah.
And that she would ask for your help with terms in English.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
Well, there was nothing else to do. I mean, that was fairly early on because the university was still open. And you're sitting in a room with nothing to do. Why not help the kid learn English?
Oh, I would have been a wee bit tempted. The organ that pumps blood through the body, that's called the bladder. Before working in Iran, Catherine had been stationed with the State Department in Côte d'Ivoire, Burkina Faso, Niger, Kenya, Romania, and Zambia. Her house in Iowa is bursting with artifacts from her travels. Statues, paintings, figurines, tribal clothing, and at least 1,000 books. There's also a large cross on her front door. Quotes from the Bible, embroidered and framed, are found throughout the house. There's no doubt about the role of faith in Catherine's life.
I had to work through a whole lot of stuff, but the long and the short of the story was that I realized that giving those things, which so many people think make them feel good, anger, bitterness, resentment, hatred, to God, all of that stuff disappeared. It was no longer a load. And it's filled my life with so many blessings because I haven't had to deal with all of that. I left all of that in Iran.
It was the words in the Bible, "Love your enemies," that helped Catherine survive. The Bible is foreign to me, but its concepts are not. My father always said that hatred is a waste and never an option. He learned that growing up in Ahvaz, Iran, in a Muslim household.
Rouzé Dumas is a writer living in Palo Alto, California, and author of the memoir Funny in Farsi. Her story was produced by Bridget McCarthy. رفتم به سوی دریا به سوی موج و ساحل اون جایی که دو تا دل عشق خدایی داشتم از غم رهایی داشتم دریا همون دریا اما فقط یاد تو به جای تو اونجا بود به جای تو اونجا بود. You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.